Hello, it's Monday, July 27th here in Tel Aviv. I'm David Matlin. This is Israel in 10, and here is the Misgav Daily Brief. Now, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will take off for Washington today, according to the Prime Minister's office. Tomorrow, he's slated to meet with President Trump at the White House and to attend a funeral service for the late Senator Lindsey Graham. Prime Minister Netanyahu is expected to fly home already Thursday. For now, on the Iran front, which all of us watch closely here in Israel, President Trump has put off a major escalation of his military campaign against Iran amid efforts to revive diplomacy and open the Strait of Hormuz, and a debate over the impact of declining munitions, according to U.S. officials, is still ongoing. Now, the U.S. military had been poised Friday to launch an intensive series of strikes against Iran, which could have lasted up to 2 weeks, again, according to officials. But the operation was apparently delayed, so diplomacy could proceed. The situation remains hour-to-hour edgy reality in Israel. Everyone asking, again, whether we'll get involved, especially as the new Iranian Supreme Leader issued statements yesterday that there's still no higher goal than to destroy Israel, paraphrasing him. Everyone here knows it's not over yet. But on another front in Israel, Syrian President al-Shara said in an interview that his country's working towards a security agreement with Israel, which he said could eventually pave the way for a comprehensive peace. He said that several countries are involved and talks for a wider security deal are known to be ongoing. So there's a positive front there, while there remains to be an open diplomatic channel and dialogue with the Lebanese government. Stay tuned on those fronts. But the focus for Israel over the past days was on the unrest flaring in some parts of the West Bank, mainly around the city of Nablus, some Jewish settlements in the area. Now, a civilian security squad member and an army commander were shot and killed in a confrontation with a Palestinian town Friday. David's soldiers were dispatched to the scene there, along with others in the security squads. They were killed in that ensuing exchange of fire, as well as four Palestinians. Now, the army at first claimed that the Israelis did not coordinate with them before entering the area, but Palestinians have said that Israelis attacked them before the deadly confrontation. But since then, though, it's emerged that the group did reach out to coordinate with the army, and as you'll hear in today's interview, these hikes by Israeli groups and families are commonplace in the area. But a group of Israelis from the nearby area then attacked several Palestinians overnight Saturday, torching two mosques, a home, several vehicles, spraying graffiti. Again, the violence has engulfed parts of the West Bank. The bottom line, a tense situation, again, on our most complex security front. Now, before we get into today's conversation, a reminder, you can sponsor Israel in 10. Just drop us a line at misgavdailybrief@gmail.com. Now, here's an Israeli journalist and insider I always find interesting, Ariel Kahana. Hi, Ariel. Thank you. Good morning. Let's get right into it. At the West Bank, you know, this week we're seeing a flare-up we haven't seen actually in the last few years, comparably. A bit surprising, I think. I think a lot of us are surprised maybe that it took this long to see some type of flare-up like this. We've been expecting this for a long time. I think it's important in this moment to give the Israeli perspective on this situation. You know, how Israelis are looking at the situation in the West Bank. I know it's a broad spectrum, but give us some idea from inside the way this is being looked at, Ariel.
Hello, David. Thanks for having me. So generally speaking, we are now, after more than half a year, that Judea and Samaria, West Bank, as you called it, were quiet. And the uprising terror wave we've seen the last week is actually surprisingly, I can tell you that the Shin Bet, the Israeli security service, just mentioned the first half of 2026 as the most quiet for years. So what's going on in the last week, which is actually a few terror attacks, especially in the Samaria area, in the north of the West Bank, this is very surprising. It began probably with a fire in Chavat Gilad. It's an outpost in Samaria. It's not exactly clear what caused that fire. The settlers are saying it was a terror attack, actually. I mean, 13 houses were burned over there. But there is no clear evidence what is the reason for that fire. But in any case, that actually what began the wave, the terror wave we see. And the price was two Israeli casualties in the last weekend.
What do you think the IDF does next? Do you expect a big operation at this point?
Well, they're already making big operations for months and months. The security policy in the West Bank, David, was changed as a lesson from October 7th. We saw steps by the IDF, which actually we never, we we never saw before since actually the Six Days War, 1967. Changes included sending out thousands of Palestinians from the refugees camps in Nablus, in Tulkarem, and in other places, and many other very tough steps that Israel took in the West Bank. And, and another one is the conditions in the jails, the Israeli jails, which are now very tough with terrorists. And just a few weeks ago, that was the explanation of why there are almost no terror coming from the West Bank. And now, that's why actually it is so surprising to see in one moment or one week, if you want, that we see so many terror attacks, as said, mainly in Samaria area.
I think it's important to characterize it like that. I mean, this is the way Israel views this as a terror front, that these are provocations and attacks. Look, where does Gaza tie in? Obviously, in the backdrop of this is the Gaza Strip.
So maybe before I go to Gaza, I have to add one sentence about this specific trip, which took place in Nablus area on Friday. It's not new. I mean, Israelis, Jews are touring Judea and Samaria, West Bank for years. We did so in the past, some fights between Arabs and Jews during those trips, but it never came to such a violent event as we saw in last Friday. Now, you're asking me about Gaza.
Yeah.
So what's going on actually today is that you and I are talking is that in a few hours there's going to be a cabinet meeting which is supposed to make a significant decision regarding Gaza. I don't know what the decision is going to be. I know the topic is the BOP, Board of Peace, which is, as you remember, handling Gaza. What we see generally in Gaza is Israeli security service almost every day are killing a terrorist who took part in October 7th attack almost 3 years ago. And most of them, maybe all of them, are trying again to organize terror attacks. And that's why they are killed by the IDF and by the Shin Bet. But, you know, on top of that, you have Israel holds about 70% of the Gaza Strip. Hamas is holding about 30%. That's where we stand for a few months now, almost a year.
I think the Arab world is looking at this situation as well right now. And there's, again, talk this week between the Trump administration and the Saudis about broadening the Abraham Accords, this Palestinian issue. Where does this fit in to the broader regional issue around Israel?
It's a great question, David. And actually, to me, it's a little bit mystery because what I know, based on my sources for many months now, is that actually Saudi Arabia is out of any negotiations about the Abraham Accords because their condition, as you said, is Israel to declare they're at least ready to have a Palestinian state in the end of the process. Netanyahu refused for that condition, and that's why we didn't hear for months about any option for Saudis to join Abraham Accords. What happened last week that Trump was talking about is surprising. We also have to take in account that the Saudis are attacked by the Iranians and blocked by the Iranians or by the Houthis from Bab el-Mandab. And maybe that brings them to a new calculate, which I don't know about. But again, the facts that I know are, the facts are that Saudi Arabia, before Israel elections, will not take any steps coming forward with Abraham Accords.
Now, many argue that the Hamas attack on October 7th was timed just for that, to derail this progress we've been seeing with the Saudis. So interesting to see at least this topic come back up. Last question, where does this fit in the Israeli election campaigns coming up, the whole Palestinian issue?
So it depends. Unfortunately, that's it. But it depends on the terror attacks. I mean, as long as the area was quiet until, again, a week ago, the Palestinians were not an issue. If we're going to suffer from additional terror attacks in the West Bank or inside the Green Line in Israel, we can make the Palestinian issue a topic in the elections. And that, I have to tell you, David, will help Netanyahu, will help the right side of the map. Because all in all, especially after October 7th, but even before, when Jews are killed by Arab terrorists, it is pushing Israeli voters to the right side of the map. So if we will see, God forbid, additional casualties, as we saw on last Friday, it will help Netanyahu and his bloc.
Ariel, thanks for being with me. Appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining.
Sure. Thank you, David. See you.
And that's it for Israel in 10. Thanks for watching. You can subscribe at the link below.